Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
Okay, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Say What Show. This is February 9th, 2019, and my name is Nancy Hopkins. It's a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, and with me is my co-host on this program, Dolly Howard, with Barbara White. Now, Barbara White came on the show last week, and we had just a really great time. As a matter of fact, they were begging us not to stop talking. But she agreed that she would talk to her friend Judy, who Barbara feels very confident that Judy has got a message. And I read a paper that Judy sent, and Judy has got a message. I honestly didn't get to study it. It was 33 pages of just, every time I looked, I was skimming it, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, I got to read this. Oh, look at this. So I think it's going to be an amazing show. And right now, I'm going to say hi to, first off, Dolly. Dolly?
Howdy, y'all. I didn't get to read the paper.
I know, and that's my fault. Like I say, I thought it was biographical, not something that was going to wow me. I would have wowed you.
I was tattling on you.
Hi, Dolly.
Hi there.
That's Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
And hi, Nancy.
How are you guys doing? Both of you, we were here together last week. Did you have a good week?
A good week. There was lots of snow, and then it went away, and it got hot again, and now it's cold again, and I'm wrapped up in two sweatshirts and a blanket.
What do you consider cold?
It's in the low 20s, I believe, right now.
That's cold.
That's all right. I love it. I leave myself one season to whine, and that's hot, humid summer. So you guys, you lizards, can just live down there in Florida. That's okay with me. I'll stay right where I am.
Did she just call us a lizard?
Well, we're the good lizards.
Yeah, yes, you are.
We're the good lizards.
You know, Walt had done that reading for me that time, and he said, I have reptilian DNA. Remember that?
That's right. I remember that.
They call me Tilly now instead of Barb for reptilian, Tilly.
My mother's name was Tilly. Oh, my God. You've just completely changed the thought of my mom's name. Oh, my God. And it's no longer Matilda. It's Tilly the lizard. Oh, dear.
Tilly the lizard, right.
I'm so Julie glad
the reptilian.
I'm so glad she's passed over. I don't know how I'd address her now.
Oh, God bless her.
Oh, she was funny when she went over, because all of a sudden she shows up, you know, in showers. When somebody passes, get yourself meditative in a shower, because the ozone actually helps communication. I mean, the negative ions actually helps communication. So I'd get in the shower, and my mother's there. I should have listened to you more. Blah, 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 you know, oh my God, she's very funny. So okay, now how about Barbara? Introduce us to Judy. How'd you two get together?
Well, my sister and I, whom you know, had purchased some crop circle essences from a group called Not Made by Hands. And we got to communicating with the fellow who created them and distributes them. And at one point, he invited my sister Linda and I to join this group. And I think I've already said it before, so I will just reiterate it again. This group is a number of people who have incarnated, who are members of the Roswell convoy, two ships of which crashed, and the mothership, which turned around. Judy has much more information about this kind of thing. So we are highly suspect, strange creatures here, believing that we are at least part of our aspect of our soul fragments really was entities that were crashing in Roswell, who were, they had multiple agendas, one of which was not conscious to us. And that was that we had agreed to crash in order to put technology here on the Earth for us to do more, which Judy can talk about a lot. So Judy and I become very, very distant because she is in Australia, but it was instant love. It was just like I knew she was part of my heart family. And that's just one of those things with everybody in the group. It's quite amazing. We all don't know each other, but we do, and we love each other very much. So I don't want to take any more of Judy's time because I want her to more than share the stage. So, Judy, I'm so glad you're with us, and I'm glad you're part of my family.
Oh, Barbie, it's a pleasure. It was so lovely being reunited with all of you again. It means so much to me as well.
Go for it.
Now we got to train you as a host here.
Yeah, you got to get her started.
Yeah, you got to ask her questions. And
okay, all right.
It's okay, Barbie. I've done so many of these interviews. I can sort of fly with it if you want me to.
Oh, good. Well, so you're used to this. Okay, go for it.
She's an international celebrity.
Oh, after having 3 books published, I've done an awful lot of interviews on, like, online-type radio interviews like this, so I'm perfectly comfortable and quite used to it. Okay, look, what I would really like to start by saying is people always fixate on the Roswell crash, but a number of ships have crashed. I don't personally like to focus too much on we were on, part of the Roswell event, because it's got a bit of an infamous sort of reputation on Earth, and I don't want to come across as being a crazy or something like that. I mean, how I look on it is it's the message that's more important than the messenger. And this is the reason why I've sort of tried to stay a little bit incognito as far as all this is concerned, because it's mainly the message that I'm trying to pass on from my ET teachers with whom I've had contact right from very, very early childhood. So I'd actually like to talk about that a little bit. I'd also like to talk about, we say that we had this life back then, but what people don't understand, there's a lot of misunderstanding about reincarnation. When we pass from this life, we're a soul consciousness. We're just pure energy, and we happen to be living in a human or biological or semi-biological, whatever race you belong to, container for the span of a life to gather experience. But in our real form, we're pure soul energy, which I'll also go into a little bit more in a minute. Now, once we leave the body, we go back to our soul family, which again is pure energy. Energy cannot be destroyed, it only changes. Now, in a soul family, these changes come about through droplets of this energy coming and experiencing physical lives. So when you get someone saying a thing like, oh, I was Cleopatra in a past life, or I was, Tutankhamun or Joan of Arc or whoever, it's a little bit quite inaccurate, because it's not actually the person that reincarnates again. What happens when we die, our energy and all the knowledge that we've gathered during life goes back to the soul family, and then from there another droplet comes out. But because we operate so much in oneness back there, up there, unlike down here, which is very caught up in duality, we come back with that knowledge, whether it was actually us or somebody else. There's not the personality labels put on people that I'm me and you're you up there. It's entirely different. We're all operating in oneness. So when we bring memories back from the soul family, it doesn't necessarily have to be a direct reincarnational line. Many people speaking along these lines of, those who claim to be Joan of Arc or Cleopatra, in many cases, it's just pure ego, but in some cases, yes, they are definitely tuning into that energy, but there would be a number of people out of that soul family who are all tuning into the energy. So that's how you get these things happening. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and it's a critical thing to kind of come to grips with, because if you can come to grips with a concept that, okay, now I openly talk about George Patton being a previous lifetime of mine, because for whatever reason, it was almost like George's mission, well, the last thing he said before he died was, I will remember. He believed in reincarnation.
Yes.
And so I come along and I remember everything.
Yes.
Do I feel like I picked up any karma because of something that George might have done? No. Because I understand the separation of the personality of Nancy Hopkins and the personality of George Patton. But his knowledge base, his the personality, because it's that fragment of the soul personality, the one that keeps interacting with me, you know? Do I feel like I was George? No, but it's very difficult to explain it. You know what I'm saying? Unless you say, yeah, I was George Patton. Well, not really. I had access. Yeah. It was like, oh, I'm going to pick up George's story is the way I think of it. Okay, George didn't finish his mission. He needs somehow to finish the mission. So the next chapter, if you will, was actually Don Kennedy.
That's exactly how it is.
Right, and then, but then... John disappears, and the backup is me.
Yeah, exactly. And as a member of the soul group, you operate totally in oneness. So, you know, up there, there is no separation. I mean, it's not that we lose our individuality. We don't. People are scared of that. Oh, am I going to stop being me? No, you don't. You actually become a more pure version of you as an energy form. Whereas down here, we're very, very limited. I mean, most of us are still up there. It's only a tiny fraction that incarnates down here of the whole soul family.
Not to digress, but I find it, after all these years, to see it as, everybody talks about ascension. And to me, no, it's not ascension. It's allowing yourself to bring into your own beingness the higher knowledge, the higher energies that you are. It's not ascending, it's allowing a descent of higher spirit into the 3D realm.
Exactly. Look, I've been reading a wonderful book on this. I'm going to recommend it because it's just so brilliant, by a lady by the name of Anita Morjani, and the book's called Dying to Be Me. And she actually died. She had a near-death experience, and her memory of this near-death experience that she brought back with her, she was dying of cancer, and, you know, her body was basically closing down. And she went over to the other side, underwent a complete healing because she could see that the cancer was caused by her lifelong fear. She was sort of frightened of everything, one of those people. And she came back and wrote this story and her description of it and how she realized that what a magnificent soul that she is, and so is everybody else down here, which really touches on, we're going back here to the Alien Interview, you know, Lawrence Spencer's book, how Elle talks about how Earth humans have been dumbed down, forgetting that they're immortal spiritual beings, ISBEs, as she refers to them. And this is just so important for people to understand. You know,
let me just break in here for a bit, because we're getting more listeners all the time. So even though we've talked about the book, can you just kind of, either you or Barbara, just relate what the book is about, synopsis of it, so that people can understand what we're talking about?
Yes, I'll talk about it if you like, Nancy, because I'm actually working on the book at the moment, updating it and trying to clarify it a bit more.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. Go.
This book, it's called Alien Interview, was written, I think it was published back in about 2007, by a fellow by the name of Lawrence Spencer. And his story is that he's just an editor of the book. And the publisher. It's not actually his story. He was said to have been, or he claims to have been, sent some documents by a woman by the name of Matilda McElroy, who was a nurse with the military base where one of the Roswell survivors was taken. And she managed, Matilda managed to get into telepathic contact with this being whose name is Ael, A-I-R-L. And Ael basically explains who she is, why they're here, and gives a whole story of going back into Earth plane history and things. Now, in this book, there's some really, really good stuff that I talk about in my book, and this is why it really drew my attention, because there's some amazing parallels there. But there's also some amazing errors in it and contradictions, which I'll talk about a little bit more later. And I've never been able to work out what exactly was going on. Is it a fiction book? Is it a fact book? Because, you know, it's very, very confusing. What I have come to the conclusion, speaking with my publisher and a few other people, what we think may have happened is that the person who sent the documents to Lawrence to get the book put out to the general public is not the one who she claims to be, that it's actually somebody claiming to be Matilda, but is actually somebody with the military who was trying to get information out of the ET using telepathy. So some of the information is good, and the feeling I get is that the ET basically clammed up and refused to give out the information because she was picking up on negative vibes with these people trying to force information out of her. And I think they've basically filled in the blank spaces with what she wouldn't tell them. And so therefore there's about 40%, which is good stuff that they got telepathically from her. And then there's about 60% of information that they've made up. And what happened, the documents were sent to Lawrence Spencer anonymously. The name Matilda McElroy was given, but he never met her. He spoke to her by phone once, and she posted these documents to him. So there's no way that Lawrence Spencer would have really known if they were genuine or not. But he just ran with it and edited the material and put it into a book, which he was asked to do, and that's the story behind it.
Awesome.
Judy, would you explain, I know I had a question earlier, and it was about how would the nurse have escaped with those documents?
Yes, exactly.
Because, like, one day it's a flying saucer, and then suddenly 2 days later, oh no, it's weather balloons, and it's been denied ever since.
Yes.
So there had to be security. It just seems really strange to me that she would be galloping off with this huge package of notes, and that they would not. And in there, it said that there were copies of notes, that she made copies of the notes and gave it to them, but they never asked her for her copies, which I just cannot believe.
This is such an important point. This struck me as well, because I've read a lot on Roswell, you know, since memory started coming through of our own crash. I've read up on it. And some stuff's really good, some isn't. But there's no way, because the heavy-handed way the military treated anybody back then who had the slightest connection with it, the fellow at the funeral parlour who was called into the base to take care of the bodies, anyone who picked up the slightest fragment of the material that was collected from the ship, you know, their lives were threatened, the lives of their families were threatened. There's no way that anyone like her could have made off with that material. What I think happened is that, if Matilda was a real person, she got some telepathic connection with the ET, as other telepaths did. She would have had to hand those notes over to a stenographer, which is stated in the book. And from there, she would not have got them back. No way. And I think what's happened is that the one who sent the material to Lawrence is a military disinformation agent, going by some of the material that's in the book that is absolute total rubbish. And that, you know, he made a good sort of, what's the word they use with these people who are, drugs
trials?
Are hidden on their,
trials?
Sorry. Yeah. Information agent who didn't realize what he was doing.
May I just jump in here for a minute? Because I actually was an intelligence officer. And, of course, I was in the 70s. But I came across documents that nobody knew about. Because the military transfers people out of the jobs and new people come in, they don't have memory. They don't have history. And so it's conceivable that somebody, not necessarily a disinformation person, I'm not saying that there isn't disinformation in the document itself, you know,
yeah.
but this might have been something that was put together back then, you know, and they came across it. Because I did, I did the same thing. I found stuff that I knew that if I got into the public and the public realized what it meant, you know, would be explosive.
Yeah.
But I could have done it. I didn't, but I could have.
Right.
So it might, you know, there's so many different ways that this story could have gotten out. And we just have to say, okay, somebody wanted us to see it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You know why? Well, is it true? Nothing. Never all is true.
Yeah.
You know? So, and in this case, because of the memories that you guys have had, you know certain things about it. And why don't you just continue where you were? I appreciate you filling in the blanks there. Thank you.
I have a question.
Oh, okay. Dolly, oh, good.
Jeez. I've been trying to not butt in. How did you come by having the book now to correct it?
Somebody sent it to me online. I was actually, I'm a Reiki therapist, and a lady here who's married to a fellow who was one of the military hybrids. He was actually in the British Army during the war, and came away with his mind very, very badly messed up, the poor fellow. And this lady came across me by listening to YouTube interviews. She found me and she realized that, you know, I'm living here where she was living. So she felt that she could safely approach me to bring her husband along to give him Reiki treatments. He was blind. He didn't have a lot of memory left. He'd really been messed up badly. And she was the one who found it online. She does a lot of surfing with the net, and she found it online and sent it to me. That's how I got hold of it.
And then how did you get the permission to be able to do what you're doing with it?
How did I get the what?
Permission.
Oh, permission. I actually contacted Lawrence to ask his permission. I would have liked him to work with me on it. But he got back to me and he basically said, oh, I just want to leave it the way it is. You know, I faithfully edited what Matilda sent me and, you know, I don't want to do any more with it. So he just didn't get back to me. So what I'm doing, I'm approaching it not from his perspective, I'm approaching it from my own perspective. And what I'm trying to do, I don't want to take anything away from the book. What I want to do, and I explained this to him, I just want to update it. I mean, for goodness sake, back in 1947, this information was given. So it desperately needs updating. And even the good parts that perhaps the real Matilda did manage to telepathically pick up from the ET, she was completely unused to telepathic communication. So a lot of her translation is very, very shallow. There's a lot more information there that hasn't been dealt with that needs to be clarified. And even the parts that come across as wrong, there is a basis of truth there. So I just want to try and enhance the material and correct the parts that aren't correct and put forward and update the parts that are.
Thank you.
Thank you, because that was, good question, Dolly. So
essentially, thank you.
So essentially what you're doing is you're taking the book and you're looking at it as a researcher saying, well, and you're a researcher because you have access to certain knowledge that, you know, is special because you're who you are. And
yes.
Updating it. And so the material that you sent me is kind of like the stuff that's going to be put back into the story.
Yes. Because I'm basically getting the story and translating it. What Elle's actually trying to say, because
awesome.
It is really good.
Because you know when I read it, and I read this not too long after it came out, I think. I kept feeling like I was reading a summation of what Matilda had received, that she couldn't get it out of her own head to put it on paper.
Yeah.
So all you're doing is coming and saying, it's sort of like, well, you know, that was a bad translation. Let me give you the better translation.
Yes, that's exactly right. Exactly
awesome.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, go.
So, talk, Judy, about what you sent me and Nancy about religion and reincarnation.
Yes, it's an article on, I've entitled it Cosmic Spirituality, because there's just so little understood about true spirituality down here. People think that religion and spirituality is the same thing. It's not. Religion is basically a set of dogmas and beliefs that some people believe, some don't, so hence there are a whole lot of different religions down here, whereas spirituality takes it to the next level. It takes it to consciousness. What I wouldn't mind doing is actually just talking a little bit about something that was given to us many, many years ago by the Greys. I'll just explain, as I think I mentioned briefly before, I've worked all my life, basically since childhood, with the ET group known as the Greys. I actually have a Grey teacher who's imparted a huge amount of information to me.
Judy?
Yeah?
Can I jump in here myself?
Yeah, sure.
First of all, you know, many people think that the Greys are the bad guys.
Yes.
Maybe you want to go ahead and sort of clarify that and also explain how we are able to clone and what has been done so that people think they are being abducted by the Greys. Maybe you don't want to go that far with it, but far with it.
Yeah, look,
if
that's
you don't want to, I will. Okay, go ahead. If you would clear that up first so that maybe there might not be so much bias or prejudice against the fact that we're talking about the Greys. I mean, everybody talks about the Greys being bad.
I know. Okay. What people don't realize is that certain technology was developed down here right back in 1956, for example. The military got hold of technology to be able to get inside people's heads and give messages and produce visions and images. Now, I actually got this information from a friend who worked at NASA back then, and she was involved with the Operation Paperclip, where the Nazi scientists were brought over to America. She actually worked very closely with Dr. Wernher von Braun, which probably you're all familiar with. He was one of these rocket scientists. And she was involved with the missile program at NASA. She was also involved in Apollo missions. She knew Dr. Edgar Mitchell and the other astronauts. So we've talked quite a lot on Skype, and I've learned an awful lot from her. Very, very nice person. And she was telling me that right back then she was delivering a lecture to some scientists on the rocket science thing, and she somehow misplaced some of the notes. And Wernher von Braun, her boss, was sitting in the audience. And she said she went into a panic because she had this whole room full of scientists and she was trying to deliver this stuff that he was working with. And Wernher realized what had happened. And she said she started hearing his voice speaking inside her head, delivering the lecture, and then she just spoke it out. So this sort of technology has been around on planet Earth right from back then. So people think it's just ET technology, but it's not. Now, what happened after the ships crashed in Roswell and other crashes, genetic material was taken from the bodies, and this genetic material has been used in a military-run hybrid program. It's known as MILABS, Military Abductions Program. And they've actually managed to produce these little robotic sort of forms that Stephen Greer talks about. He refers to them as PLFs, programmed life forms. And they've been created out of genuine Zeta and other Grey material, genetic material, plus other genetic material put in, and they've been programmed. They have implants in them. So they're basically robots. But they're used in these staged fake military abductions. And people have got to know them as greys. They think that they're the genuine greys, and they're very, very negative, nasty little things. So that they're not from off planet. They're from right here. They've been made right here. And these MyLab abductions are very, very widespread. People think because of this incredible technology they have, they can create holograms, they can get inside people's heads, they can do like remote mind control with people. And people think that these are genuine greys that are coming, and they're not. The genuine greys are not involved in anything like that. The genuine greys are just here to try and help people to get away from this sort of control. So this is where the greys have come up against a lot of problems down here because of all this propaganda. People tend to link into the fear and drama side of it. Hence you get all these YouTube clips put up and interviews about all those terrible greys, what they did to me, oh, they're evil, they're bad. But it's not the genuine greys. It's these programmed life forms being used in these MyLab military abductions. So that's the story behind this huge propaganda campaign being put out.
Let me ask a question. Why are the, I mean, is this just psyops on people so that they don't realize that it's the military and they're using the ETs? But what's the purpose of doing this?
The purpose is to maintain their control. I go into great detail in this in my last book, Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth, Lessons in History. There's a group down here, they refer to them as the Cabal and the Shadow Government. They basically control the planet and they don't want to lose control. And this is why the ETs started arriving here, the genuine ETs, just shortly after the war. Because while a planet goes to war, within itself using guns and spears and things, okay, they're not bothering anyone else. But once nuclear weaponry is invented, which happened during the war, this impacts way off planet. And this is the time when off planet people are allowed to intervene. Generally, they're not allowed to intervene. A planet has free will. They have to work it out themselves. But once they invent weaponry like that that can impact on other cultures off planet, then it's time for interventions. And this is why the Roswell group were here, plus all the others who were coming. We were investigating what was going on down here, how badly the environment was being impacted with all these nuclear bombs and things going off. Just basically investigation to see what was going on. Now, this group are the ones who are behind all the wars and things that go on down here. Their whole idea is divide and conquer. So they were the ones who were behind the invention of these weapons, which is why the real ETs now are coming here to try and wake humans up, because they've been controlled, mind controlled, brainwashed for so long by this group. It's time for humanity to move ahead.
So Judy, was that?
Oh, go ahead, Dolly.
So was the Roswell ship? Was it shot down by us, or did it just have mechanical issues? How did it happen to crash?
Yes, it was shot down, and a number of ships are being shot down. It's not the only one. There are a number of them have been.
Thank you.
Well, no, so I heard that it was the fact that the radar system messed with the ship's technical capabilities.
Yes, yes. What it was an electromagnetic type weapon. The ships are controlled by the crew by placing their hands on the control panel, and they channel zero point energy through their bodies. It's a little bit like we do Reiki down here. And what happened? This electromagnetic energy force that was sent towards the ship broke the control between the ship and the crew. So the ship basically went out of control, and the crew couldn't get it back in control.
Okay, can I jump in here for just a second? Because one of the fascinations I have with the concept of how these ships were being operated is that concept of a hive mind. Would you consider the interlinking of this mind to be a hive mind when they're flying correctly?
Okay, I don't like the term hive mind.
We love bees. Okay, and we have a great appreciation for this concept.
Yeah, yeah. It's more that they work very much in oneness together. Like in the Zeta Reticulan culture, everyone's got free will. I mean, you know, you don't, it's not like we're a bunch of robots. I mean, I work up on the ship all the time and, you know, it's not like that at all. But it really, a better description would be we work by God's will rather than free will, because everything that everyone does is always for the good of all. There's not that individual me thing like we have down here. So people doing things that's going to impact negatively on others around them. The fact that we communicate telepathically keeps us honest. So you can't harbour ill feelings about someone else. They're going to pick up on it. So you've got to be very upfront and honest. But there's such a sense of oneness. Now, when we're operating ships, it's the same thing. The ship is actually a sentient organism, and we link into it via our consciousness so that the crew works together in oneness, channeling this energy through into the ship via our hands. We draw it in through our crown chakra, exactly the same as when people do Reiki, down to the heart and down the heart meridians, down into the hands and into the ship. So that's how the ship's powered.
Judy, would you explain... you just said that you spend a lot of time on the ships. Would you explain that to the audience, please?
Yes. Well, all of us, our group down here, some of us have more conscious memory of it than others. I know someone else who has even more conscious memory than I do, Susie Hansen, who wrote the book Dual Soul Connection. She has a very, very strong conscious connection. I remember sometimes, other times I don't, but that's the way I've chosen it to be, because I couldn't operate that way. I need to have a bit of time off. I do a lot of healing work up there. And now, this is interesting because something that I've talked about in a lot of interviews, but there's probably people listening in now who haven't heard me speak. One of the very, very clear memories I have is of being up on the ship, and I walked into the clinic up there, and there was a man lying on a table, who, you know, an Earth human man. And he was partly paralyzed, and he managed to turn his eyes to see me. And the look of absolute horror that came on his face at the sight of me was really, you know, quite off-putting. And I really, really tried to communicate with him. I was trying to say to him, look, don't be scared. I'm not going to hurt you. You've been brought up here to have help done with something. He actually had an implant in his head that had been put in by the negative group down here, and we were going to remove it. And I was trying to get this across to him, don't be scared, please, I'm not here to hurt you. But because he was in such a state of fear, he had this cocoon of fear wrapped around him, and there was no way that I could break through it. We can't physically speak. We have to telepath up there. We don't have the human mechanism of speech. And this is the reason why a lot of people complain that greys won't communicate. We can't communicate, because when a person's in that state of mind, we can't get through to them. They've got to be either in alpha or theta state to be able to communicate telepathically. And of course he wasn't, because he was so scared. I can remember absolutely just about literally shouting at him telepathically, and for goodness sake, you know, you've been brought up so many times, please don't be scared, please, please. But no, I couldn't get through to him. So anyway, we put him out to it because, you know, the poor fellow was obviously terrified and suffering. And I can remember then standing with two others at his head, and we were doing an operation on his head. I can remember my long grey fingers going down into his brain, and my human memory brought back that something was cut, a wire was cut, but I don't think it was. I think it was just a human overlay. And we removed this implant from his head, and I can remember saying to one of the others, oh, that's good. At least now we've got it out, he'll be safe. And I also, what looking and working on him, you know, looking down on him lying on the table, I thought to myself, gee, if I ever see you down on planet Earth, I'm going to remember you, because he had a very distinctive shaped beard. And weirdly enough, several years later, I did connect with him. Never said anything, of course, but I recognized him.
So are you a physician with a degree from here on Earth, or are you a physician with what we call the aliens on the spaceship?
Yes, I'm a healer up there, down here on the Reiki channel. I've gone right through with Reiki. I'm a Reiki master, but no, I've never studied medicine down here. But up there, I do healing. But it's not medicine per se. It's more working with energy, a little bit like Reiki, only much, much, much stronger.
Oh, thank you.
I just kind of realized that we're interviewing Zeta. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I'll
explain in a minute.
Right. All right. Let me run this by you. Okay. I have this theory that the creator consciousnesses of the various worlds got really tired of all the fights. And so they got together and they decided to create a new species that would be created to fill a role, of a negotiator. And that's why Earth is so beautiful. I mean, it's got everything that it makes it perfect. And you have this species that is genetically mucked with by a lot of other ETs. And in the end, I think we've got this mix of all these ET DNA strands in us that makes everybody out there our family.
Yeah. Yes, all those humans have DNA from off-planet.
Oh, I think it also puts our species in a very unique place. And I'll tell you, I was talking to a very well-known person in this arena, and he said, oh my gosh, he said, you know, because he communicates with ETs all the time, and he was like, I don't like ET, I call them off-worlders. The out-of-towners.
Yes.
I also call them the out-of-towners. The out-of-towners, okay. So he said they have such a they consider humanity royalty.
Yeah.
You know, and to me that made so much sense. But now because I'm explaining that we got the DNA of everybody, I mean, you're not going to hate your family. And now have a species that will go out there and say, I'm not going to hate you, you're my family, to everybody.
Yeah. This was something we were told many, many years ago when I started contact, mixing with other people who were having contact, and they didn't know what to call them. And they said, you know, we asked our grade teacher, what would you like to be called? Do you like to be called ETs or Zetas or family or aliens or what? And he said, oh, definitely not aliens. We hate that. We're not aliens. That's too much them and us. He said, what we'd really love you to call us is family. And that's what we do.
Yeah, they're the out-of-town family.
Yep.
Well, speaking of clones, I'm jumping back a little bit. Dolly, I had to make a joke concerning you. Do you remember when Dolly the sheep was cloned and that was supposed to be the first clone?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And so, Dolly, well, God bless you. Well, Dolly was not the first clone, but that was just the first clone we got to hear about.
Well, yeah, that they acknowledge.
Judy's talking about cloning happening, earlier than when we were informed about Dolly, back after World War II. And supposedly the Nazis were doing it back in the 30s. So we're not even going to go there, though, because this isn't part of this story. But also, Judy, I was wondering if you would talk about your childhood and your teachers and your first memories and how you got in touch with this and how it continues to unfold.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. Right through childhood, I was aware that there was something strange going on. I never felt at home down here. I felt homesick for somewhere else, but I couldn't figure it out. I was aware of going off somewhere at night and leading a sort of double life. And the thing was, my child's human consciousness was terrified but also fascinated by this. I actually had trouble with the idea of having to eat food and visit the bathroom. I thought all that was, oh, you know, what's going on here? And on deeper levels of my mind, I could recall another existence where such things were much simpler. To my way of thinking, these biological needs were weird and inconvenient, just taking up too much time.
Amen.
Spiritually too, I was yearning on deeper levels for a closer connection to Source. I was actually educated in a Catholic convent, and so I found this connection to a certain extent in traditional Earth plane religion, but I was also aware of something deeper that was missing. And what I eventually came to understand was that the older human species in the universe, such as the Greys and other ETs, have a much more conscious link with what people down here call God. So in that reality up there, we don't have to rely on faith alone. It's a fully conscious knowing and connection with Source. And this is a little bit I go into in that article that I sent through to you, Nancy. It was during a 1983 contact when I was age 30 that I actually gained fully conscious recognition of the Greys as family. And the link I felt was just amazing. What happened, we were living on an acreage property, my husband and I, and his family were out over to visit for the day. And I started feeling like I was coming down with the flu during the afternoon. I started feeling really off colour. So I went upstairs to lie down in a quiet back bedroom. And the next thing, I went into that paralysed state that so many people talk about, mind awake, body asleep. And, of course, I was terrified, as people are. And there was this loud, roaring, buzzing sound in my ears. Anyway, the next thing I became aware of was three of the small Greys standing beside the bed. Now, I'd sort of been aware of them being around, but not quite as consciously as that. And I was also aware of a teacher that I worked with who I knew wasn't human. But, again, that was as far as my conscious understanding went. And, in fact, I'd been with him just the week before this happened, discussing it, obviously. So, anyway, I was lying there unable to move, and these three Greys standing beside the bed, blocking sunlight coming in the window. It was the middle of the afternoon. And they had this long discussion with me that I couldn't remember on waking up. There was obviously missing time. But slowly the memory of this started coming through, that they said to me that it was time I got back to work. I recognised them as family, so as soon as I saw them, all the fear dissipated. And they said to me, they started talking about the mission, you know, where I'd been, how, you know, who I was before and why I was down here. They said, it's time for you to move back into the city and get back to work. You've got to stop hiding yourself away in the country. They told me, you need to learn to meditate. Now, I'd been a professional dancer since age 15, and I felt that I needed to meditate around this time, but never had much success with it, because being a dancer, I was a very physically oriented person. And so what the Greys advised me on this visit was to learn Tai Chi, because they said it's moving meditation, so it'll make a wonderful bridge for you from the dancing into normal sitting meditation. And they said, you'll be teaching this one day. And I'm lying there, you know, what? I don't even know what Tai Chi is. What is Tai Chi? And one of them said, oh, something like yoga, only it's more movement involved. So anyway, for the next 3 years, these memories of this conversation started slowly coming through, and all these amazing coincidences, in inverted commas, started happening for me. In that, yes, we moved back to the city, which I'd had absolutely no intention of doing, but circumstances changed to make us. Where we moved in the city, we ended up with someone moving in next door who had been a meditator for 10 years, and her teacher had also just arrived in town and was starting up a group, a closed meditation circle, to which I was invited to join. And within a week of coming back to the city, I found Tai Chi classes starting up just around the corner from where we live. So it was like the Grey family was push, push, push up behind me. Go on, go on, go on, get on with all this stuff. So I then had about 8 years of studying, training first to learn Tai Chi and then to be an instructor. training for 8 years in this meditation circle to learn channeling and automatic writing, which I really love automatic writing, and this, of course, led into being an author later on. And I also learned spiritual healing, which then led to learning Reiki and then going on to being a Reiki master. So it, really, I can thank the Gray family for pushing me to get me into the position where I am today, being able to, as they tell me way back then, teach all these things, which still blows my mind. I've actually told this whole story in my book, The Zeta Message. It's basically an autobiography and also the story of a family that I came in to help in the year 2000 who were having seemingly scary ET contact in their house. Which turned out to be extremely useful and wonderful. I've become very close friends with the mother of the family, and her story is told in the book as well. So that's my background.
Okay, let's tell people how they can get a hold of these books.
Through Amazon. It's available through Amazon. Readily available.
Okay, do you have a website?
Yes. Our website is ufograyinfo.com, and that's Gray spelled with an E. G-R-E-Y, and there's actually a link on the website that they can order the book through.
Okay, so could you repeat it one more time?
Yes, I actually wrote two books around the same time. The first one is my autobiography called The Zeta Message, and at the same time, or a little before, I was putting together a semi-fiction story, sort of along the same lines. Back then, there was no way that I would have come out of the closet as an ET. No way in the world. I was really scared of it. And so I was putting my experiences down in a semi-fictional form. And that book is called Human by Day, Zeta by Night. I'll just say the name again. Human by Day, Zeta by Night.
And the website, one more time?
Is ufograyinfo.com.
Oh, well, okay.
I have a question.
Go.
It looks like we're coming up on a break, but I wonder, Judy, you mentioned that when you were 30, you recognized your teacher standing by your bed and that you had worked with him before. And yeah. So I would like you to go back and talk about how your teacher and his teacher came into your life.
Yes, well, I wasn't even consciously aware of ETs. When I was a child, a very, very strong memory I have in early childhood, I was probably about 4 years old or something, is being taken by a tall, thin woman who I thought of as my grandmother, taken by the hand, walked up our street to board a train. Now, my real-life grandmother was living with us at the time, and I loved this adventure. You know, being a child that age, it was a great adventure, and I kept asking her to take me back on the train. And she had no idea of what I was talking about, and she said, but there is no train station up Ash Street. Ash Street was a dead end. So as the years passed and I started to understand a bit more about the ET thing, I realised it was actually a ship that I'd been taken on. And it was one of the tall greys who took me. People have to understand that here in Australia, we just don't have the understanding, or certainly not back then, of ETs. I mean, there was no Roswell event or anything like that here. Nobody ever thought about ETs or off-planet people. I mean, it was the last thing on everyone's mind. I just wasn't brought up with that mindset at all. So through my childhood, I was always aware of having this presence around me, this old teacher who helped me out. I felt really comfortable with him. He never really showed himself to me in full consciousness. I was aware of a strange-looking being who was with me, and I knew he wasn't human. That was as far as it went. As for the fear that I felt, I was absolutely terrified all through my childhood of someone coming into the house and taking me. I now understand that this was part of the plan for this life. Because I was coming back here to help people with the ET experience, I needed to experience the fear of ET visitation myself from first-hand perspective. So that now when people say to me, I mean, okay, I'm an ET, I don't have problem with it now, but I did as a young person. So when people say to me, I'm really scared of these ETs, I understand what they're saying, and I can say, yes, I know what you're going through, but, you know, and then I can explain. So it was a very real choice that I made to come back, you know, with that lack of understanding operating through a purely human consciousness. When I was age 15, I had a contact experience in which I went, again, I was put in a paralyzed state, and I remember lying in bed, waking up and seeing the doorknob of the room turning, absolutely terrified, trying to yell out to my parents, of course I couldn't, and then my mind blanked out. So there, again, there was missing time. And then after that was when I started getting more conscious awareness of this teacher helping me out behind the scenes. I used to, you know, be always talking to him, you know, if something went wrong, I'd say, oh, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? So over the years, I became more and more accustomed to his presence. And this is Maris, my great teacher that I talk about in my books.
Now, you were talking earlier about the use of cloned greys that are the small little squirrely guys. And yet you have mentioned that there were small greys in.
Yes.
Now, are there small greys plus these others? Or
yes.
Were you. Okay. Okay. So were they the ones you're talking about when you're. They were the ones visiting you? What my question is have you ever been Mylar involved? Have they taken
no,
you.
No. Okay. No, I haven't. I've put up special protection to stop it happening, but no, I haven't. These were the real little greys. The real greys, there are small ones. What people think is that all the greys are zetas, that they're just one culture, but they're not. There are actually many cultures, and there are small ones, and there are medium-sized ones, and there are tall ones. The tall ones tend to be the teachers, and elders. They're very closely connected with the mantids as well. I've got a real thing about the mantids. I think my teacher, Maris, is like a tall grey, but he also has mantid genetics in him. But the ones that are being cloned and made down here are made in that form so that people are scared of them, which automatically makes people scared of the real ones, just the same as some of the so-called tall greys down here are actually, they're not greys. They're like reptilian hybrids or something. Like the men in black, for example, are hybrids that are made right down here on Earth. They're not from off planet. Now, at the same time, when I say reptilian, again, people put all reptilians into the bad basket, and they're not. The only reptilians that are negative is a group that was created down here. They're actually Earth human reptilians. I go into great details in my extraterrestrial presence on Earth book on this. The off planet reptilians are lovely people. Yeah, we were talking before about Tilly.
My mind's blown.
they're extremely protective people. The reptilians from off-planet are protectors.
Well, I agree with that concept. I mean, people want to make everybody bad, you know? No.
Exactly.
Every species has good and bad. That's what the game is about, you know? Good and bad. Listen, we're sort of at the top of the hour because we started late. So I'm going to put on a song, and when you guys get back, just let me know that you're here, and we'll start up again. It is a 5-minute song, so you got plenty of time. And I'm going to try to get myself grounded here. We'll be right back.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about growing older and moving on. No one wants to be told that they're getting on and maybe going away for a long, long stay. But just how long and who knows, and how and where will my spirit go? Will it soar like jazz on a saxophone or evaporate on a breeze? Won't you tell me, please? That life is eternal and love is immortal and death is only a horizon. Into the Save the limit of our sight. Save the limit of our sight. Here on earth I'm a lost soul, ever trying to find my way back home. Maybe that's why each new star is born, expanding heaven's room, eternity in bloom. And will I see you up in that heaven? In all its light, will I know you there? Will we say the things that we never dared? If wishing makes it so, won't you let me? Eternal, love is immortal, and death is only a horizon. Life is eternal as we move into the light, and the horizon is nothing save the limit of our sight, save the limit of our sight. Oh, life is eternal, and love is immortal, and death is only a horizon. Life is eternal as we move into the light, and the horizon is nothing save the limit of our sight. Save the limit of our sight. Oh, life is eternal, love is immortal, and death is only a horizon. Life is eternal, as we move into the light, and the horizon is nothing.
And welcome back, excuse me, welcome back to the Say What Show, Cosmic Reality Producing. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Dolly Howard and Barbara White and Judy Carroll. And I suspect that the Galactic Fleet is watching and listening and hearing, because I think that the messaging that we're getting, and getting just be in a more profound way, a very deep understanding of, if you could see the chat that's going on the side here between these participants in this, I think, really amazing and profound release of a lot of information that just seems to be the right time being presented in the right way. And I am so honored that we're all here together. Guys, who wants to go next?
Well, I have another question for Judy. I'm thinking about the Lawrence Spencer book, Alien Interview, and the fact that recently we were together discussing what was valid and what might not be valid. And I wondered if you would do some comparisons with your knowledge of what may have happened in the Roswell incident and what really may have happened and what is discussed in the book that is probably not quite true. And we were also talking about, and you mentioned that the reason that there is untruth in that book is probably because we are to be kept frightened and in the dark. And if you would talk about why the fear. That was a loaded question. I know there were a lot of facets to it, but if you could talk and address those things.
Yeah, well, the divide and conquer technique has been used on this planet for millennia, going right back to biblical times. And the fear is the way of controlling people. That's basically, you've only got to open a newspaper or turn the television news on to see how we're bombarded by fear. And I always remember reading about a magazine that was brought out that wasn't going to focus on fear. It was just going to focus on nice things. But it never got off the ground because people enjoy fear and drama. Now, this is a major, major problem down here. And one of the main messages that I want to get across is that as quantum physics is proving, we create our own reality with the way we think. Now, by keeping humanity in a state of fear, the controllers of this planet, the cabal or shadow government, whatever you want to call them, are able to maintain their control. Fear is a very, very low vibrational frequency that stops a human from evolving to higher frequencies. Planet Earth has basically been shunted off into a siding, to use a railway term. The rest of the universe has evolved so that there are very, very few other human races in the universe that are operating at the low level that we are here in 3D so-called reality. Most are way ahead. And this is the reason why the scientists down here are having trouble finding any other ETs or anyone out there who will respond to our radio signals, because the radio signals down here are just so far behind. And this is what's happened. This shunting Earth off into the siding, or it's like into a stagnant pond beside the flowing river, has been done through mind control and brainwashing, through religion, through politics, through war, through innumerable sources to keep Earth humans disempowered and in a state of fear rather than a state of love. This is what the whole Armageddon thing is about. This is the choice that everyone has to make. Do we tune into fear or do we tune into love? And it's a very, very personal choice. I mean, people say, we don't have free will down here. You know, we can't. We're dictated to by our government and their laws and things. Yeah, sure, you've got to obey the laws. But free will comes from deep within your own heart and mind. What do you personally choose to tune into? Nobody else needs to know. But do you focus on fear or do you focus on love? It horrifies me the number of people who surf the net purposely looking for fearful things on YouTube and interviews and things like that. They don't realize how much, because we, in the greater reality, we operate in oneness. So if everyone's focusing on fear, it keeps the whole of humanity down and stops the natural ascension evolutionary process that is supposed to be happening here. Does that make sense?
Perfect. You know, Spencer, in his interviews, he reminds us that Errol supposedly said that we are a prison planet, and that seems to be flying around the airwaves quite a bit right now. And Spencer talks about how anybody who was not acceptable to the control group that put us here and created this prison planet, and that would be murderers and psychopaths and not only the negative, dark, warmongering types of beings, but also the artists and the creators who were not willing to go along with the status quo and the control. And it makes me think about the fact that if that's true, we do have those dark and light sides to ourselves. It makes us what we call human right now.
And you're talking about what are we going to go towards, love or fear? And I'm wondering, Judy, if you have thoughts about ways that we can clear out these negative energies that are part of our DNA and part of our heritage because of the interbreeding of all of us that have been here since we became a prison planet. What do you think about that?
Okay, well, I don't really, this prison planet thing, again, that's not being quite interpreted right. It's such a complex subject, this. There are many, many layers involved here. It is a young planet, and so a lot of Earth humans are newly evolved souls who haven't, you know, had much life experience. But what we have to remember, okay, he talks about all his murderers and that, but everyone out of body is perfect. This duality doesn't exist off planet Earth. When people come down here, they can certainly get caught up in all the fear-mongering and that, and that's what actually creates a criminal, is fear, lack of self-love, an unhealthy psyche. So really, these people should be helped by helping them to understand things more like on a spiritual level. That would assist them rather than just locking them up. I mean, I know they have to be locked up, you know, for their own safety half the time. But this whole concept of planet Earth being a prison planet, it's not quite right. Sure, we do get caught up down here until we learn to choose love over fear. Yes, we do get stuck here, so it's sort of a prison in that way. But at the same time, we always have that free will choice to choose love. But the trouble is we keep getting blocked by the controllers who keep pushing fear at us. What people do need to focus on, people very, very importantly need to understand that we create our own reality through our own thoughts. So the free will choices that we make and need to make at this time are, what sort of future do I want to create individually or also on a planetary level? Do I want a loving future or a future filled with fear and discord? What sort of world do I want for myself and my children? It all begins with each and every one of us on an individual level and then ripples out from there, like when you throw a pebble into a pond. I remember one of the famous philosophers, Lao Tzu, I think it was, said something about we can't change the world, we can only change ourselves, and this is the key to it. And the more people who can change will eventually reach that 100 monkey effect that will help the planet up to the next level. So that's about the main thing people need to understand. Choose love, don't choose fear. Focus on love, focus on positivity, don't focus on negativity. We know negative stuff's happening, but you don't have to give it any energy. You know, that's the whole key to it.
It sounds like energy flows where the thinking goes.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I facilitate a class, and we've been meeting for 11 years, and I don't know even why they continue to come. I oftentimes, well, the whole thrust of the class is that we do create our own reality with the words and with our thoughts. And it's just a really hard concept for people to get. They don't, you know, they kind of get threads of it, but they really have trouble getting it. So when we talk about our free will to create, that free will is so occluded from us. So what do people do? What can people do? I mean, we can tell them to focus on the positive, but there's such deep wounding. I'm wondering how to deliver a message in such a way that we can help the 100th monkey come along.
Yeah. Well, I think the more we just put it out there, because a lot of people don't even realize, they don't understand, you know, they're sort of in automatic mode to go into negativity. And the more people can be just given this awareness, not to just automatically go into negative mode on everything. Because we live on the planet of duality, there are two sides to everything. There's always positive, no matter how negative a thing seems to be. There's always a positive side to everything. I know that sounds really, really weird, but That's what I found. I mean, I'm in my 60s now, and looking back on my life, I can see this so clearly.
So what are some other areas that Spencer and Matilda talk about that you find they are not quite your understanding, Judy?
Well, I actually finding it hard to talk about this at the moment because I haven't read the book in such a long time, and I've only just started working on it. There's one section that really struck me. I remember years ago when I read it, if I remember right, it's on page 51, where Elle's talking about and explaining to Matilda that we're all immortal spiritual beings, or isbies, as she talks about. And this absolutely knocks Matilda for a sixer. She's really shocked by it. And she makes a statement that she's been brought up as a Roman Catholic. And hang on, I think I've got it here somewhere. I'll just try and find where I... Yeah, here we are. I've written it down. She honestly believed that immortality was reserved for the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost of Christianity. She also claimed that, as a devout Catholic, she never thought of a woman as an immortal spiritual being, not even Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, this comment by Matilda really started alarm bells going with me, because this is absolutely not true. I was raised Catholic. I was educated in a Catholic convent. I know what Catholic doctrine is. I mean, I was a very religious person up until my teens, because I was searching for that connection with God. So I went to Mass every Sunday. I was even toying with becoming a nun at one stage. And I know that this is absolutely not right in Catholic doctrine. The Catholic Church teaches that we have an immortal soul. The way they worded it is a little bit funny. It's like, you know, we're down here with soul floating around somewhere, which is not really true. The soul actually is experiencing life through the body. So we are a soul. We're not a body. But the Catholic Church definitely teaches about immortality. And I actually brought this up with another friend who's interested in the Elle book, and she's actually done a degree in theology at our local Catholic university seminary where the priests study. So she knows her Catholic doctrine inside out, and she agreed with me. She said there's no way that the Catholic doctrine teaches that we are not immortal souls. It does. So Matilda was obviously not who she said she is when she said that, or someone else who wasn't Catholic to make a claim like that. So I'm going into quite a lot of detail in that part of the book, talking about the fact that we are all immortal spiritual beings.
Isbies. Errol was supposed to call us Isbies, which was what you just said, immortal spiritual beings. I did like that. Did Errol say that?
Yes. Because what she was saying, what we are, we're a being that is right now. There's no past, no present. It's all in the now. And we are just here to be. Nothing more, nothing less. I love that.
I would like to ask a question before we get too far away from what you had said earlier. Okay. Is it okay?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I want to get permission. We're living in this crazy world today.
Yeah.
With all this swamp stuff going on, the negativity and we call it the swamp stuff for okay. How can Nancy and I, for instance, help to get the reality into more positiveness? What can we do to help us get out of this crap?
Look, you're doing it already with this radio program. You're doing a marvelous job here. We can all only do so much. I mean, I know we get frustrated, and I mean, I'm only human. I do too. I get frustrated. Oh, I wish I'd get it out there, you know. But then I think, well, I've written books. I'm putting it out there. I'm doing interviews. You folks are doing a lovely radio program like this one. You know, we're all playing our part. it will happen. I know that it will happen. Positivity always wins out over negativity in the end. Negativity implodes upon itself. Positivity builds. So it's got to win out in the end.
Thank you.
Would you like to join us on radio? We'll give you your own show, your own time span, how much time you want. I know that we're only touching, the subjects that we're touching on are the ones that they want to be talked about right now. And, you know, so we're going with the flow. But each of those subjects has just, I mean, it's like we're getting a, lesson 101 in this subject in one show. The depth of your knowledge and where you could help and to take everybody. I'm serious. If you ever decide you want to do radio, we'll gladly accommodate you.
Thanks for that.
And bring along your sidekick, Barbara White. I've been trying to get her on radio for years.
Yeah. Maybe one day when I've got a bit more time. I'm fairly busy at the moment. But maybe one day when I have more time.
Yep. Or just, you know, come on when, you know, anytime you want to push a message, you get to say, you know, as soon as you get the feeling, oh, I got to talk to those cosmic reality people, you know, let us
Great.
Know and we'll go for it.
Fantastic. I'll definitely take you up on that. I definitely will.
There you go. That way it's, you know, it's not us planning, it's them planning. Because when they want you to do something, you're going to do it.
Oh, for sure. Another thing I like doing, if ever I read a good book, I love to put it out there because there are some amazing books out there. That one I mentioned before, Anita Morjani's book, Dying to Be Me. Oh, wow, if people want to know about what it's like on the other side, they should read that book. It's absolutely brilliant. Another book by a lady by the name of Lisette Larkins, Above and Beyond. She's had connection with the Greys all her life, and they helped her hugely to deal with some very, very difficult life situations. That's another lovely book to read. Susie Hansen's book, The Dual Soul Connection. She has amazing conscious memories and recall of working up on the ship as a Grey beside the Greys. Very similar to what I remember.
It's interesting that there's people out there sharing their stories that are confirming yours. Do you get together with all of these? I know you're in communications with some of them, but are you telepathically? First off, are you telepathically in connection with these people, do you feel?
When I'm up on the ship, I am. I tend not to be down here because I find it too distracting. I basically live a double life. Up on the ship, yes, I am. And if they need me to know something, yes, it comes through loud and clear. But I'm not generally into all the psychic telepathic stuff because it's too distracting.
Yeah, I'm also aware that, you know, I go to sleep and it's another life.
Yeah.
And I wake up and now I'm back to Nancy. You know. It's a fun way of existing because you don't waste all that time sleeping. You know, talk about schizophrenia here, you know, dual personalities, yes, and there's many more of us too.
Oh, look, this blended soul thing, I'll just talk about that a little bit because I don't think a lot of people know about that. Basically, your awareness is connected with two cultures, in my case, Earth, human, and off-planet grey. This choice was actually made by my soul essence before this birth into this life, at the time I was preparing to reincarnate into this life. As I said before, everything's energy, and the energy frequencies that are required for the life ahead begin to build up around the soul essence. It's like the skin of an onion, building up the process of individualization from source and oneness and into close synchronization with a particular planetary collective consciousness, a species consciousness, and the racial group mind that's been chosen for the coming life. Now, those ones like me, whose work involves being an interplanetary ambassador, we synchronize on the energy level of two groups rather than just one, two planetary collectives rather than one. And this enables us to understand and connect with both groups to help integrate the two. So in my case, I live a double life as an Earth human by day and a Zeta Grey by night, like I entitled my book, Human by Day, Zeta by Night. So when I leave the body down here, and I've actually seen myself do it, I saw myself in the mirror once when I got up off the bed to go to work. And when I'm up there, I'm working totally within the Zeta collective consciousness. When I come down here, I focus on the Earth human one.
How many do you think are actually doing this? I know that's what I do.
Yeah. I would say now at this time of change, there are quite a few doing it because, I mean, the more ambassadors, off-planet ambassadors can be down here working, the better. You know, the more we can get the message out. And it is really important to actually be able to view it from both sides, to view the situation as an Earth human and to view the situation as an ET.
Well, I'm fully aware, and I get flashes of you know, the other side. I don't dream. I mean, I come back with no, you know, unless there's a message that they need to get to me. But for most part, you know, when I go to sleep, nothing until I wake up.
Right,
it's like a
right,
programming yeah. switch on off.
Yeah.
And, so I don't actually remember what's happened because it's none of my business.
Well, you know, our Earth human brain wouldn't be able to cope with it. This is what my understanding is. Because a few times I've complained about it, I've had a bit of a grumble upstairs and said, oh, I wish I could remember more. You know, I can talk about it more. But as Mara said to me, he said, you know, you're operating through a 10% consciousness in your human body. You wouldn't be able to. It'd send you crazy. You know, you wouldn't be able to cope with it.
Well, I think that maybe we have more than that. Some of us,
well,
you know,
actually,
the average brain. Go ahead. Teach me.
This actually comes back to a teaching that I was given many years ago that I was going to talk about before we got off track. It's called the human ladder. It's the thing that Greys refer to it as. And what it is it's a term that they use to explain the path or cycle of evolution, which is followed by all human-type species throughout the universe. And it also represents our multidimensional soul or higher self, which spans the whole ladder. And it's comprised of what the Greys call galactic levels, but these aren't actually galaxies or any sort of physical places. They're actually ascending and expanding levels of conscious awareness and awakening. Now, the average Earth human consciousness is operating on the first rung of the ladder. So, therefore, they can consciously access approximately 10% of their potential conscious awareness. The other 90% is hidden away on either subconscious or superconscious levels. And for an Earth human to be able to access even a small part of these deeper levels, an altered state such as hypnosis or meditation is generally required. So this 10% consciousness is intrinsically linked into the 10% of our active DNA. So in order for a person to access deeper levels of consciousness, more DNA needs to be activated. And this is a lot of what genuine ET contact, particularly with the Greys, is about. And when I'm talking about consciousness here, I'm talking about mind consciousness. I'm not talking about physical brain. We do use our whole physical brains, more higher consciousness. And as our mind focus evolves up to higher rungs of the ladder through evolution, we're able to link more consciously back into oneness and therefore able to perceive and interact with higher and higher vibrational frequencies of energy. The whole universe is energy, nothing more, nothing less, just energy vibrating at infinite frequencies. And once we become more consciously awakened, we can tap into higher frequencies way beyond our present awareness. Just as an average human on Earth is able to tap into and operate in full awareness of third-dimensional reality. This is why often in ET contact, or genuine contact, the ET says to the person, it's time for you to wake up. That's what they're talking about, awaken more consciousness. So that helps us to understand why we can't always access all the stuff down here. We just don't have the consciousness capacity to do it.
Judy, could you clarify a little bit about the difference between your brain thinking and the mind?
Yeah, the brain is a physical organ through which the consciousness can express. It's just like the heart is a physical organ through which the blood is pumped through the body. It's the same sort of thing. Consciousness is separate from the body. Okay, when the physical body dies, we step out of it. It's just a physical container. That's the word that the Greys use. This term that they use in the Alien Interview book, Doll Body, I've never heard that term. The term that the Greys use is container. And we become very aware at the moment of death, we step out of the container and we still have our full consciousness and, in fact, an expanded consciousness, because the human brain and physical brain and body limits our consciousness. It's like being wrapped in a cocoon. I mean, so many people these days are reporting near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences. So, you know, it's been proved again and again that we are not our body. We are a higher consciousness energy. We're not our body.
I have this thought in my mind, and my mute button keeps going off, and so I know my spirits are playing with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, not playing with me, but trying to get a point across to me.
Yeah.
They want me to ask what I have in my head, that the words. Nancy and I have been told that we have beings out in the off-world places,
yeah,
who gather and listen to our shows. Now, I believe this happens.
Yeah.
It's really quite surprising to me. Yet, when they're listening to us and they get in these groups, do you think that sometimes they are actually guiding who comes to us to be on radio and guiding the subjects that we talk about?
Oh, look, for sure. Absolutely for sure. And some of those higher beings are actually parts of your own higher self. Because as I just mentioned, our multidimensional soul, higher self, spans the whole human ladder. So often when we get guides coming to us or ET teachers or whatever, they are actually a higher part of ourselves. And yes, they guide us, they gather information through us down here. I always remember reading in a book talking about reincarnation and higher selves and things, and there was this really good illustration of a higher self illustrated or pictured as a puppet master with all these bodies like puppets attached to strings, and this puppet master or higher self was actually operating through these different bodies. We don't just operate through one body. We operate through a number of bodies. That's what, how you can get, you know, a higher being saying the same thing through several different people. So, yeah, for sure. And they guide us all the time and they gather information through us. That's sort of what half the reason why we're down here.
Thank you.
Dolly has died a number of times. And it's one of those gifts that she gives us, that she's so open about passing on to the other side and
yeah,
her experiences there.
Wow, yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
So I end up with all these weird questions because I've been there a couple times.
Yeah,
not
none
all
of them
the
way,
are, but I've been in the near-death experience. And so I have these different views than other people who haven't been through them have, and I have a big curiosity.
Dolly, no questions are weird. I mean, people seem to be scared sometimes of asking questions that they'll come across as being silly or stupid or something. We always say, no, look, no question is weird. Every question is valid. I know the Grey teachers, that's how they like to work. They like to work by people asking questions rather than just sitting and giving out information. Because as they say, the information they might be giving out isn't valid for that person or that person isn't interested. Whereas when they answer a question, they know that they're hitting it right on the head, what that person wants to know. So no questions weird.
And there are many versions of a question, and you sometimes have to work through them before you get what, oh, that was what I was asking.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes people don't get it one way,
but they get it another way when you explain it another way.
Well, they give you the exact answer to the question that you asked.
Yeah.
You know, and that so sometimes it's like, I didn't exactly, you know, and the other thing is that people, they ask these questions, but then when the answer comes to them, they don't recognize. They may, you know, like the answer and use the answer, but they may don't recognize that the reason that you have the answer is because you asked the question. You know, one of the things that Dolly asked, you know, what can we do? We have to kind of like show people the details. How do you pick up on the details? Because the magic is all around you. It's just that you've been blinded by all this mind control crappy and the electromagnetics, you know, and all that sort of thing. But yeah, that's a good question. People have asked, okay, 5G, do you know the dangers of 5G?
Yes, I've certainly heard about it. I mean, all these electromagnetic things are impacting on people. Technology's far outstripped spirituality on Earth. This is the whole problem. You know, it has to be balanced with spirituality. I mean, ET technology is way beyond that of what we have down here, but so is their spirituality. And this is the worry about all this 5G and all this stuff. It impacts upon people. I know you're into the Shungite, aren't you, Nancy?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because I've got it all around my modem on my computer to protect myself from the energy.
Well, all right, let's get into that because let's talk about Shungite metaphysics, all right, because it will give me a better understanding of where, you know, out-of-towners might be coming from. Because what I see is that Gaia, the creative consciousness of this earth, called in the Shungite field that landed in Russia. And that energy field is created in a cosmic environment between the stars. And people say, oh, it's got to be someplace else on Earth. Well, if pieces of it fell off, yes, but this was a specific energy field that was created and, boom, given to us. Now, all of a sudden, after, you know, millennium of everybody knowing in the area that everything is, water is pure, people live longer, they're healthier, all of a sudden, in 2014, I get a hold of it, and I suddenly, because I have a radio station, I suddenly begin to talk about it. Now, it's a worldwide phenomena.
Yeah.
My question to you guys is that, my interpretation of Shungite is that it's teaching us a new science. I call it enterology, the science of energy, and, you know, the universe's energy. And if you understand the how to manipulate energy to everybody else, you're creating magic.
Yeah.
All right. So my question here is, you're working with the Shungite. Do you feel the magic of it that is... it's a spiritual revolution. It's teaching us a spiritual revolution because it's teaching us about the interconnectedness of the energy universe.
See, ET technology is based on this energy consciousness and the fact that there's a level of consciousness in everything. So the Shungite is actually a living consciousness that is able to, how can I say, influence human consciousness. In a protective way, it obviously puts out a vibrational frequency that can overcome the negative frequencies being put out by electrical appliances and apparatus and things down here. So it is a consciousness.
So are the family, you say you like to be called family, are the family concerned about the 5G and that we're going to really muck things up? Dastardly.
Well, the thing is, everything is actually perfect. That's happening. Everything's happening the way it's supposed to happen. So there's going to be positive sides as well as negative sides. It's just where we are on this planet. We're on a planet of duality. So nothing is ever totally negative. you know, it's just another test for us to work through, you know, with our own empowerment. Because, you know, our own empowerment protects us from things, negative energies coming in. So it's basically just encouraging humans to build up their own level of self-empowerment.
So
not getting too caught up in the fear of it. Again, it's a fear thing.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So my not being so scared of this 5G is an okay thing. I'm not failing on my duty by not getting all upset about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I tell people, it's a system. You know, it's not like the chemtrails. Okay, where, how are you going to get it to these things? This is a system. All you have to do is find out where the on-off switch is and turn it off.
That's right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And it ends. It's not one of these, but we don't want it to turn on. And Dolly doesn't feel the fear, and neither do I.
No, no. But I
run around making people afraid of it.
You know, she does a doggone good job because some people are terrified.
Because I don't want them to turn it on. And I see it as a prime opportunity to bring people together because it makes you aware of how awful, you know, some people are, that the control is actually there. I mean, you know, you don't want, it's the cognitive dissonance, you don't want to think this way. You know, and so we're there saying, this is true. And they're going like, you must be crazy. I don't want to think that way. But something is as blatantly, I mean, it's almost like the opposition said, you know, I'm just going to make this desperate move and end this game. Because when they rolled it out as fast as they were trying to roll out, they just caused a galvanization of energies towards stopping it. So it's an opportunity to bring the entire world together over one question. But I make them afraid before I get them to that point.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
So do you like what you've chosen to do at this time? So, and you can be here on Earth and up in the spaceship at the same time?
I do. I really feel like I'm making a difference. And I mean, that's what I came here to do. All of us who were involved in those crashes back then, our mission was cut off, you know, cut short back then. So now we're all back again trying to make a difference. And I'm just so grateful for having this opportunity. And it's interesting because, again, reading Elle's story and the difficulty that there is between communication, you know, with communication between Earth humans and Greys, I'm just so grateful that I'm here in Earth human form, reasonably well educated, and able to, you know, talk to people in their own language and you know, be an ambassador between the two races or two cultures. I'm just so grateful to be able to do that. It's so enlightening to be able to do it.
Well, what
I'm glad you're doing it here.
I'm glad you're talking to us. Okay, Dolly, you said on in the sidebar that you've always wanted to talk to an outer towner. And
family, now
we're calling them a family, outer town family.
Yes,
The OFs, okay, we'll call them the OFs. So the OFs are now here, sitting at your dining room table. The turkey spread is already been eaten. What question would you ask?
How do I get a ticket to go on a spaceship?
Guess what? You probably do already and you just don't remember.
I can believe that. I can believe that because sometimes I catch myself fading in and out.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, it's like when you see the heat on the pavement
and
it's that wavy stuff.
Yeah.
I do a lot of that.
Yeah, there you go. Now, let moving me between dimensions.
As long as we've got them here, Dolly. Okay.
Yes.
On Tuesday, we did a remote viewing. Dolly had inadvertently done a remote viewing of Antarctica, live on radio, right? And I told her, come back. And
I didn't mean to.
It was a spontaneous remote view. And so, but I told her, I said, if you really want to pursue this, you know, then I'll walk you through some remotes so you can get, you know, feeling good about it. And so, she ended up, there's places where you can't do a remote because they've got people waiting for your signal to come in to jam you. But there's many places throughout the world that you can go. Nobody is going to think somebody's going to remote view. And, that was Guantanamo Bay. So we went down to Gitmo, etherically. And my question here is, because, I feel very comfortable. I know that it's real. I know that it's like my consciousness, the etheric level consciousness, just goes different places. When I'm doing it, I have a very, I'm not personally involved in it. I'm observing it. I'm not questioning it. It's like being in a movie theater where your mind would probably interact, but you're just watching the movie.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. But anyway, I got kind of like, oh gee, I don't know. Should I be teaching not only Dolly, but, you know, people around the world how to remote view? Now, I know that there are times where you could use remote viewing to be, let's say, you could spy on people, basically. You can do all sorts of things with remote viewing. So, what I'm saying here is I kind of got into a quandary about it. I'm going like, but I'm being pressed. No, people need to know how to do this because, that's the next level of, it's one of the skills that needs to be learned. Yeah. And, so I said, well, how can we protect them? Well, we have a Shungite grid around the world. Okay. Now, if you just, I'm sure that your people can confirm this, that you've got layers of weeds of energy and you got the tree energy, you got the water energy, you know, you got all these different layers. And one of the energies now is Shungite because it's worldwide. And because we work to make it stronger and bigger, because to me, you can't do anything that's negative in a Shungite environment. It's been programmed only to turn on when it gets a certain frequency from a pure heart.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so...
I know exactly what you're talking about, because we work with Reiki in the same way.
Oh, yes, actually.
Exactly,
So... What I want to do, well, first off, I have all these tools for protection, and I've been so protected, I get kind of lazy about these things. But what I think I'm going to do is just, invoke the power of the Shungite field to prevent anybody who I teach to do a remote view that they can use it for a negative purpose, period. You're not going to be able to get out, you know? You've got to go with pure heart. And it's not something that I do on a daily basis or, it's like all of a sudden I need to see something. Or somebody says something and all of a sudden I focus in on it and boom. Like that's what happened to Dolly. We were talking about Antarctica and all of a sudden she popped out. And I felt her go. Yeah. Going, oh, crap. She just, and so.
And I didn't realize I had done it for a few minutes.
She's like, where am I?
What did he do to me now?
It is fascinating remote viewing. I remember reading Courtney Brown's books, Cosmic. They were great books because he did a lot of remote viewing on the Greys and got some real good stuff through.
So basically, you'll ask your people, if we start going someplace where we shouldn't go, because I figure if if I just go on live radio and Dolly and I start to, you know, just travel through the universe, maybe we can teach people the full implications of imagination and the power of creation through thought, because what, you know, what reality is based on what we think it is.
Yeah, that's right. That's
we
right.
We preach that all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
imagination is so important.
I wrote a book called Cosmic Reality, and it's based around certain rules. And the first rule of cosmic reality is reality is what you think it is. The second rule is majority wins, the 100th monkey syndrome thing. And but not really, because it's energy. More powerful people can, you know, with less numbers can, it's an energy thing. Who's got the more energy plugged in to a given reality? But the third one is anyone in control of a given reality will keep everybody else from knowing rules one and two. You know, I mean, that to me is the answer to the game. You know, and my partner, Walt Silva, our partner, Walt Silva, he said to me one day, he said, why are we trying to fix this old matrix reality? It was built to do something and it's doing it perfectly. Let's just build a new reality. You know, so for, well, this all happened like in, I think it was November-ish of 2014. And since then, we've been just building this new reality. Because I tell people, I say, I don't care if anybody is listening to us. The fact of the matter that we got together and we communicated all this information to one another puts it in the collective consciousness. And everybody that hears this audio tape are going to go, oh, and now they've added to the collective consciousness, and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah.
You know, that's changing the reality, the perception of reality. And I see it daily. You know, I mean, you must be able to, you know, confirm this, because there are so many people just becoming aware so fast.
That's right. And it's growing all the time. You know, it's only a matter of time. It's the thing, you know. But yes, it is growing. Honestly, you know, I mean, when you think of what's going on these days with all this pedophilia in the church being brought forward, and their local banks will put through the wash for, you know, money laundering and things like that. You know, things are coming to the fore. People are starting to wake up.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I got a question for you. There in Australia, correct? Yes. Can you give me your opinion of Mr. Trump?
I'd rather not say in public.
Well, my friend Mary loves him. She lives in Perth.
Oh, I know people who do too. Again, there's always positive.
There's the answer.
There's always a positive side of even the most negative thing. When he was elected in, I knew that was what was supposed to happen. Let's put it that way. Because he's making people aware of just what some people are getting up to and capable of doing. I don't really want to say any more than that.
Oh, no, I think you basically know what we know.
Yeah, he's a living example.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. The timeline change, that there's two versions of him. And actually, when you got the orange-haired Mr. Trump, he's the one that's on the Matrix timeline. And when you've got the white, silver-haired one, well, he's over here on our timeline. That's how you can tell them apart.
Oh, well.
It really does prove out to be pretty true. Hey, okay. I got another question before we leave.
Oh, go ahead, Dolly.
When you all cross over, I said cross over, you leave your earthly bodies, your soul goes, it can leave, it's free. How are you guys going to do that? Because you're both ET and in your human body. How is that going to work for y'all?
Well, I do it when my human body's asleep. So there's not
but
a problem.
But you come just, back.
Yeah, then I come
I
back.
I mean, when you permanently leave your earthly body,
how do you
also going to permanently leave your family body?
How do you mean, like when, like on a daily basis, or when I pass over?
When you pass over,
I'll just leave the earthly body and go back to the family upstairs.
Oh,
go back to the soul family. Because I mean, remember, our body's only a vehicle. It's like a driver getting out of a car.
Okay, I'm ready to get out of the car. But people aren't ready for me to.
And truly it is, when you move out of the body, it is. It's just like stepping out of a car. And sometimes we forget to put the handbrake on, and so, you know, the body starts moving around and things, and sleepwalking and things like that. You've got to be careful to try and remember to put the handbrake on.
Uh-huh.
Excuse my sense of humour. Greys have a terrible sense of humour.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
That's how we work down here.
Okay, is there any other message that you'd like to give our listeners and us right now?
Yeah, look, basically three things. Greys always work in threes, and the three main things that they want to get out to people. They want to get out the concept of oneness, that we're all one, Earth humans, Aetis, Palladians, etc. We all share the same stream of consciousness or universal life force energy. There is no them and us in the greater reality. We're all one. The other thing that they want people to understand is that we're not our body. We're all immortal souls, an intrinsic part of God, Source Oneness. We're much, much more than just a physical body of flesh and blood. All that is a vehicle, as we've been talking about. The third thing they want people to understand is very important. We create our own reality through the way we think and what we focus on. So always try and focus on the positive rather than the negative. And sense of humour is extremely important. The harder things get down here, the more you need your sense of humour. That's their basic message.
What a great note to end on.
And I think we're ticking off all those points, Nancy.
Yes.
Will you guys come back?
In another body?
No. I mean, come back on the show.
I'll come back in the same body.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just not just anybody.
Same body, new show. Okay, one more time. Tell people the names of your books and how they can get a hold of you on your website, please.
Okay, website is ufograyinfo.com, and that's gray spelled with an E. My latest book is Extraterrestrial Presence on Earth, Lessons in History. And my two other books are The Zeta Message and Human by Day, Zeta by Night.
We didn't even get into history.
That's why you got to come back.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to. I'll take you up on that invitation.
Oh, it's just been delightful, you know. I mean, it's, it's a family gathering. Who knew?
Oh, exactly.
I don't want
exactly.
Them to go.
Exactly. Sure.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Amazing. And
thank you.
Say again.
Thank you, Dolly and Nancy and Judy, for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
Honored. But what we don't want to forget is that we've got a family of listeners, you know, yeah. And those listeners are not just the 3D human types, but they are etheric beings. They are, you know, out of town or family. It's bigger than, and this is not just true for this radio station. It's true for everybody's life. You know, everybody matters. And if we can understand that, if you just realize how full of love and how much love you know, that you are, and allow that to become the dominant energy field, you're going to cause everybody else around you to resonate that way. So put your energy into thinking of terms of, you know, your heart just, you know, exploding with love energy. Because in the last analysis, I think that's what's going to save us.
Great visual.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We are love.
Well, thank you all beings on all levels for joining us.
We have great listeners. We really do. Thank you. They're good people. You know, I feel like a little girl. I want to sit here and cry because you guys are going to leave.
No, we're not.
You got to come back. Come back.
You know, sometimes Walt Silver, on another show, we have another host, Walt Silver, he gets off into science and you know, Dolly's eyes are clouding over. I don't even care to see her eyes. I know it's happening to her. And one day she says to me, "Oh, I just can't take this science." And I wrote back to her and I said, he's talking to the galactics. And she went, "Oh, okay."
Oh, yeah, that was the answer I needed.
I love you. It was a different audience, Dolly. Well, God bless you all, and, you know, be safe, be blessed, and I'm gonna go get something to eat, like some chocolate ice cream.
I love you guys. Have a beautiful week.
Beautiful to you guys. And please, Judy, give me a link that you want me to put in the YouTube presentation. Any of the books, all of your links, you know, just, you can send me an email with it or on Skype if it's easier for you.
And, fantastic. I will do. Thanks for that, Nancy.
Yes. And Barbara, thank you so much for bringing Judy here. Awesome.
Oh, all right. More than my pleasure. Absolutely a joy. Thanks.
I love you both.
Oh, me too, you guys.
Say what? Say what radio show? With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
You are listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Station, playing shows from the current week, in the hopes you'll take a listen, find something interesting, maybe informative, and maybe inspiring. Thank you for being here. Be safe.